Well, they'll need an easement to get to.
Well, but yeah. That'll come with it. That's, you know, we have easements on everybody. Yeah, I have easements in my backyard.
Everybody,
yeah.
More easements.
Yeah. And that's fine. You have easements in your area?
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to City Hall for tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, and I kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Mike Bruno?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Dean Kilberg?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Tom Simonian?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Here.
We have a full crowd tonight. That's exciting. We would like to begin tonight's meeting with a moment of silence to honor our friend, a gentleman of exquisite hospitality, a hospitality for several decades, the owner of the Little Owl, Mr. Robert Arbrazani, whom we all know passed away last week, and from all the press reports, but more importantly, from our own personal connection with Mr. Arbrazani, we extend to his family, particularly the boys, and obviously his lovely wife, our deepest sympathies. As all of you know, there will be a celebration of Mr. Arbrazani's life on June 15th at the United Methodist Church, followed by, which is typical Bob, a party over at the Little Owl in Flagstone. So if you could please join me in just a moment of silence to honor Mr. Arbrazani. Thank you. We have a great meeting tonight. Look at that. We begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to invite none other than Mr. Chuck Miles to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I know you did.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Miles. Just keep coming back every 2 weeks, man. We'll have you.
Until you get it right.
Yeah, exactly. That was Alderman Vogelsberg, by the way. Ooh. Item 3A is to proclaim June 8th, 2013, as Go Day in the city of Geneva. Everyone should be aware of what Go Day is. It's on the marquee. Who's going to be down there at the park with me going on Go Day?
I hope to be there.
Excelente. It'll be fun. Do we have a motion to so proclaim?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Excellent.
Who was the second?
Cummings. The second was Mr. Cummings, the man with a little tiny computer.
There's two little tiny computers. Three little
It's called a fondle slab.
It's called a what?
Called a fondle slab.
That's technical talk, man. Item B is a presentation by Show You Care Kane in support of the countywide 708 board. And, of course, our dear friend Mr. Chuck Miles is with us this evening. Mr. Miles, welcome.
Thank you. You're ready for me, huh?
We are ready.
Are you ready, Alderman Vogelsberg?
Oh, you can dish it out, but not take it, right, Mr. Miles?
Man.
Do you want to start the meeting over again, Chuck?
I mean,
after you guys get reelected, you all get a lot different, don't you?
All right.
Anyway, thanks for the opportunity, both Alderman Vogelsberg and Mayor Burns, for letting me come here and speak for a few minutes tonight. I'm Chuck Miles. I live at 1015 Westfield Course. For those of you that don't know me, I've been in Geneva for about 23 years. I'm the one on Westfield Course with the Packer flag flying. More importantly, I have a daughter, Emma, who many of you know, 21 years old with developmental disabilities. I've been here before to talk about the need for 708 funding in the city of Geneva. What I'm here to talk about tonight is something you may have heard about. I think a lot of you have. I'm not asking the city council to do anything. What I want to do is just make you aware of this and then use this forum and the people that watch this to understand a little bit more about the support we need in order to make this work. So Show You Care Kane is an organization to help provide local funding support for children and adults with developmental disabilities. I don't know if I can work technology here. So real basically, who's a person with a developmental disability? Persons with conditions commonly labeled as Down syndrome, autism, or any intellectual disabilities. More specifically, people who have developmental disabilities are primarily diagnosed as being developmentally disabled before age 22, according to state regulations. What that means, they're born with those disabilities. They're mentally disabled in the state of Illinois. In order to qualify for the state waiting list, you have to have an IQ of less than 70 as well as meet some other needs, some requirements in terms of help with daily living skills. And a lot of these folks don't have the ability to care for themselves. So they truly are the most needy within our communities. And a lot of you, you know, are the most deserving of our help is probably a better way to put it. We did some survey work about developmental disabilities in Kane County. And interesting to us, we found that about 80% of the residents of Kane County knew somebody with a developmental disability. You see these, you know, a lot of the folks that you may or may not even know that they have a developmental disability working a lot of the shops around town. My daughter worked at Caribou for a while. Ace Hardware is good enough to have some folks working there. And they're part of the community. We see a lot of folks with developmental disabilities at Jewel, in particular, one of the largest employers of people with disabilities. So really, how many people need help? And some of this will get a little confusing, but basic answer is there's a lot. There's about 10,000 people in Kane County who have developmental disabilities who need some kind of lifelong help, whether that's help with basic life skills, budgeting, writing a check, making their own food, things like that. There's about another 10,000 people in Kane County who need help just from time to time, maybe with just one aspect of kind of daily living. The state, as I mentioned, has a waiting list called the PUNS list. I'll talk about that briefly. There's 1,000 Kane County residents who have developmental disabilities have been on that statewide waiting list, many of them for over 10 years. Of that, there's 1,100, I think, actually now. Those are people that have these needs for help with their daily living, as well as an IQ of less than 70. Within, I went out and looked at the PUNS database, 85 of those people currently live in Geneva in the 60134 area code. So there's a lot of people out there that really need our help. In addition, you know, you all read the papers about the prevalence of autism and things. Within Kane County, there's over 16,000 special ed kids. They're going to be graduating and coming out. The state does a pretty good job of taking care of these individuals. I'll call them kids because they're all our kids. Until they're 22. Once they're 22, services stop in the state, which is just criminal unless you're lucky enough, and those of us that live with this every day, you're lucky enough to win the lottery and be pulled on the PUNS list to get some state funding. I talked to Steve Taylor, the director of Day One, and he said when he calls people now and tells them they've been pulled, and about 100 people get pulled in the county in the last year. He said it's like Willy Wonka winning the golden ticket. I mean, you really have gotten now some help. You can afford to get those services. You can afford to live in the group home we have on South Street, as well as some other properties that we're working on in Geneva. So about half of those 16,000 school-age children are going to need help. They're in special ed by the time they reach 22 and they age out. So there's a huge need within the community for this. If I can get the computer to work. There we go. So what kind of care is needed? If you look at this, is the care we all need. It's the basic things we all need. It's housing. It's jobs. And whether that may be a job coach for a period of time or just help finding a job and some supports in that. Transportation, getting back and forth to jobs and getting back and forth to other community activities. Respite care for caregivers and families that deal with people with special needs. As well as all types of therapy, occupational, physical, speech, and any kind of assistive technology that's available. Technology's made a wonderful improvements in the lives of a lot of these individuals. A lot of things people can do on the iPad and things is just pretty phenomenal now. Okay, so basically here's my pitch is what can you do to help? There's really two parts to this. The first part is we have to get about 19,000 signatures to get on the ballot in spring of 2014. So our first effort is getting enough petition signatures. You can run statewide with about 3,000 signatures. State of Illinois has decided that in order to get a countywide ballot, we need 10% of the people who voted in the last presidential election. So that's about 19,000 signatures. We currently have about 15,000 signatures. So we're going to need your help. If you haven't signed a petition, I've got them here. If you want to take a petition with you, route it around with families, and get it back to us, all this does is it allows us to get on the ballot and let our voice be heard. So that's the first thing. The other thing I want to ask you for is, as those of you that belong to various groups, church groups, social organizations, other city groups that would like somebody from our organization to come and talk to you about this, we'd be glad to help. So we have a website. I'll show you that. Or you can call me. I'd be glad to get you in touch and we'll work from there. And then also vote yes on the referendum when it comes up in the spring. So who benefits from this? Well, it's the 1,100 Kane residents that are on the state PUNS list, which is a prioritization of unmet needs. It's basically a waiting list. What would happen is we would first go out and look at these individuals that are on this waiting list and provide them some services. Any monies left over, we could help some of the kids coming out, transitioning out of special ed programs. There's about 2,000 people at home right now with aging parents that could use some assistance, as well as there's some that could benefit that are getting some services right now, but probably not as much as they need. The other part is this is good for Kane County. It's going to provide jobs. We're going to be able to provide jobs in terms of therapies. We'll be able to provide more housing, so take care of some of the housing stock. People will be living in the community, and it really makes just for a lot better local community quality of life. It's really a great thing to be a part of. Okay, so what's it going to cost, right? And so I want to be the most hated man in Kane County by next March because this is a 0.1% property tax increase. It'll be funded through the property tax. That's just the way it works in the state. That's how they do things. So for an average Kane County, $182,000 home, that's the cost overall average of Kane County, it's about $55 a year. So if you know what your valuation is worth, it's 0.1%. So here's the organizations that provide services. A lot of those you are very familiar with. Day One Network, located here in Geneva, Association for Individual Development, Mark Lund, Valley Sheltered Workshop, Fox Valley Special Rec, these are all organizations that would potentially help provide those services to those individuals that most need those services. And how would we determine which groups get the funding? Kane County Board, by the law, the Kane County Board would set up a group of, I think it's anywhere from 3 to 7 individuals that would distribute the funds, much the same way we do in Geneva here with the 708 board that Mr. Ford runs for us. And in my mind, it could work a lot the same way as that, or the community chest, is organizations would make an application for a certain amount of money to provide services, and the money would then be split up. So it's a developmental disability service board. We're not alone in this. We're alone in the Chicago area. Nobody else has it, but 14 other Illinois counties already have an established developmental disability service board for their county. Now, I should also point out, because Geneva does have a 708 board, 708 board deals with three populations, mental illness, developmental disabilities, and substance abuse. So there still would provide for those groups. This would be only for developmental disability services. The reason we're going after this is because this is what the state allows. There's the ability for a 708 board or a mental health board to be countywide, but we don't have that in this county, and it would create problems with the already existing 708 board. So that's why we've gone down this route. Okay? So that's all I had. I've got some additional information. I'll stay around and can get petition signatures if anybody wants them. But any questions?
Questions or comments from Mr. Miles? From anyone on the dais or anyone in the audience?
Dawn, you're awful quiet now.
I didn't want to be the first. Can you send the petition via email to people?
It has to be signed, physically signed by a registered voter.
But I mean, can you send it around for other people?
Well, here's what.
Fill out?
Here's the thing I forgot to do. I'm not good at technology, right? We have a website, showyoucarekane.com. You can go to that website and actually download a petition.
Perfect.
If you need a petition, let me know. The other thing I forgot to add was we also have an opportunity out there on the top of the web page. It says volunteer for events. We will be at Swedish Days, located in front of the post office and probably the library during the book sale. We still could use some volunteers. If anybody wants to volunteer, they can go out, click on that, send us a message. If you have questions, there's also a contact place to contact us. So we could use help getting signatures. This is a big job to go and get. I know you've all run around and got signatures, and even in some undesirable parts of town, right, Mr. Burns? He even came to my house once.
Right.
So it's a big job, but it really is an important job and really can make a huge difference in the lives of so many people here in King County.
Okay. Chuck, I have a question.
Sure.
The signatures collected before, when regrettably, in my humble opinion, the Kane County Board chose not to advance this issue, those signatures became, in essence, defunct.
They're still good.
They're still good.
They're still good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many signatures did you collect?
We have collected, to date, we've got about 15,000. On the first day, we went, the mayor is referring to is we went out, we were at the polls on the November election day, getting signatures. We had over 100 volunteers. A lot of you saw us. I forgot to wear my apron. I should have worn my nice apron that says support the developmentally disabled. But we got about, from those volunteers, we got about 7,500 signatures in one day. We went to the county board with about 12,000 signatures trying, because there's two ways to get on the ballot. One is to have 19,000 signatures. The other is the county board can put it on. The county board elected not to let it go. Their executive committee voted it down. So we're now on a path to try to get the rest of the signatures. Right now, we were again at the polls in April. We got some more, so we're up about 15,000 signatures. But it really is quite a burden on families trying to juggle the needs, and our advocates trying to juggle the needs of a special needs child, as well as being out there. And unfortunately, both of those days we were trying to get ballot signatures or petition signatures was not really great weather, I'm sure you'll all remember. So a lot of people out there freezing for a lot of hours getting signatures. But those signatures are still good.
So. They are still good. Okay. Yeah. And they're good for just the cycle.
They will be
cycle.
Good through the spring election of
spring
2014.
Election. Got it. One other question. If successful, what's the approximate revenue generated?
If the county, the other problem is the county, the resolution is worded by state law to say levy up to 0.1%. The county board could elect to do something. We hope they would not do that. Based on the last numbers I saw, the full levy would be about $12 million.
Similar levy authority that the city council has with respect to the 708 board.
Right.
Okay. And last comment. And it is a comment just in terms of housekeeping, so as not to be pursued either through a ballot challenge or petition challenge, I would caution anyone from signing a petition here on city council property tonight.
Okay.
Because the last thing we want is anyone to say, well, that's invalid because there's been electioneering done on city hall property. So.
Okay. Well, we wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't want anything.
I'll stand outside as long as you want me to.
And how's Emma doing?
Emma is doing great.
Is she watching?
I don't know if she was. She was.
It'll be rebroadcast several times. So she can watch it.
Well, great. She'll be. She wanted to say hello to you too.
Awesome.
So we have a picture of.
Give her my love.
So. Of Emma signing Kevin's ballot, or his petition to run for mayor, wearing her one of her Packer sweatshirts. So.
All copies have been destroyed of that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Miles.
Through the end of the meeting,
Mr. Mayor.
So.
Yes, Mr. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Sorry to
forgive me. Sorry about that.
Up with another question. First simple point is, my wife last week tried to watch us on TV, and the streaming doesn't come through very well. I'm working with Pete on that. I don't know if any of you have a chance to let some relative watch us streaming. The rebroadcasts look wonderful of the city council meetings, but the streaming isn't coming through right. So, but my point, my important question was that the 708 board, which we have here in Geneva, does not appear as a separate line item on the tax form, if I'm correct. It's folded in with the Geneva
General
Fund.
Not for the city of Geneva, that's correct.
On the county, would it appear as a separate line item, or would it appear under the county general?
It would be a separate line item calling for the funding of a DD services board. So it would be a separate line item. That money would be directed to the DD services board.
Why is that different for the county and the city? I don't understand that.
I think some cities actually do have it as a separate line. It must have been something that was done when this started.
Mr. Ford, I believe we do.
John, do you know about that?
I don't think it's a separate
It's
line.
Not a separate one.
It's not.
Not for the city, but I don't know why that is. I think, and I don't know, there's Kane County is interesting in a lot of respects. The St. Charles, Geneva, and South have 708 boards. The northern part of the county does not have 708 boards. So that's part of the challenge is we don't, and there's some work being done on that right now.
This would be a separate line item independent of the 708 board in Geneva.
Yes. The city would then still have the 708 funding coming in. So it would be an additional.
If I'm correct, is that?
It would be an additional.
It's a maximum of, I believe.
Three.
Three at the moment. Yeah. So this would be an additional 10 cents, but it would be listed separately on the bill.
Yeah, it would be handled by the county rather than the city.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else?
I hope you are reaching a lot of people on TV tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's, we got to get that streaming thing fixed so they can all hear about the
Well, you're live on Channel 10 and Channel 99. And also after Svengoolie.
Maybe Channel 99 hasn't quite solved their streaming problem yet. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Mr. Miles, thanks a billion. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Check this out, folks. Item 3C is the presentation of our fiscal year 2012-2013 annual report. And our presenter this evening is the intern extraordinaire. We just call him Luke. Certain people only have first names. Cher, Bono, Luke. Luke, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, so all those in the audience? Because we know you're a, well, we know you do a lot of modeling work, because you did appear with the different size recycling totes.
Yes,
the city newsletter,
correct.
Which was very exciting. And smart move to wear check on television. That's nice.
Thank you.
You are what year at in your MPA program?
I just finished my first year for the Masters in Public Administration program at Northern Illinois.
You're also the president of the Masters in Public Administration Club at Northern Illinois.
Yes, that is true. I ran uncontested, so it's not a big deal.
You don't have to say, you don't mention it. Why mention that, man? Where's home originally, Luke?
I grew up in Durant, Iowa, middle of nowhere.
So. No kidding. And you know everyone here on the dais? Most everyone?
There's a couple new faces, so.
Yeah. What do you think of those new faces?
Congratulations on being elected.
That's why you're in.
Well, Luke, the floor is all yours, man. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Good evening. Again, my name is Luke McClanahan. I'm the administrative intern here at City Hall. I have the pleasure tonight of presenting the 2012-2013 annual report for this past fiscal year. And basically, this is a recap of significant occurrences, major projects, programs that were conducted by different city departments. If you don't mind, I please ask that you hold questions to the end. That way I can just get through this real quick. So thank you for that in advance. Beginning with the city administrator's office, the top icon there is the information line. The city of Geneva unveiled the information line, which is a 24/7 automated telephone guide, which primarily is designed for critical incidents such as power outages. And it also functions as a frequently asked questions guide about city services and programs. The city also hosted several training opportunities for staff, including ethics training, a capital budget training. From the ethics training, the city administrator led an ethics committee, which was formed by various city staff from different departments. And this committee was designed to create a new City of Geneva Code of Ethics. The city administrator also assisted with the Metro West Council of Government as the legislative committee chair. She participated on the Strategic Planning Committee, the Golf Committee, and also the Legislative Drive Down Committee, which just recently occurred down to Springfield. And if you're not familiar with Metro West, it's just our the lobbying organization for municipal issues regionally. up there in the top left-hand corner is the City Hall Gardens, which was completed this, the first phase was completed this past year, which included the elimination of overgrown plants, bushes, and also it embraces new Illinois native plants, which are low maintenance. there on the right of the screen is the where the city administrator coordinated the purchase and close of an East State Street property. This property can now be divided a little easier for development. Down at the bottom, of course, is me. Again, I just finished my first year with the MPA program there at Northern Illinois. So by this time next year, hopefully I'll be graduated and pursuing, another career. Other significant occurrences with respect to the city administrator's office include conducting a number of FOIA requests, business licenses, and liquor licenses as well. Next, we have the Administrative Services Department. on the left-hand side is the Government Finance Officers Association Award for the Distinguished Budget Presentation. This was the third year in a row that the City of Geneva won this award. up in the right-hand corner, the National Resource Committee held its sixth annual Earth Day event, which had nearly 500 attendees, and at this event, people could bring recyclables, and also, you know, you could bring your documents to be shredded at the event. Like the mayor mentioned earlier, the Geneva Broadcast Network, which is Channel 99 and Channel 10, resulted from public television being broadcasted on both AT&T and Comcast. Programming includes, you know, city council meetings as well as segments about local businesses. A few other major projects and programs with the the Administrative Services Department include negotiating a 3-year agreement with the fire union, a 2-year contract extension with the electric union, and successfully attaining a 0% increase for the city's medical plan. Furthermore, the Information Technology Division completed a fiber optic upgrade with collaboration from the school district. The Community Development Department had a number of significant projects that were completed this past fiscal year as well, including the Downtown Station Area Master Plan, which was formally adopted on November 5th of last year. This is a long-range plan for transportation, facilities, and projected land use specific to the business district of Geneva. There at the bottom of the screen is a snapshot of the City of Geneva's Geographic Information System, or GIS, as it's commonly known. The upgrades to the software included special use applications and recommended land use plan from the comprehensive plan. The building division conducted several improvements here at City Hall, including the tile that you see as you came in probably. Also, LED lights were also installed throughout the facility. There in the middle of the screen, you can see the Settler Hills Master Plan. City staff provided recommendations for the master plan, and some of these include a resort hotel, fishing pond, a banquet hall, and just to name a few. There at the lower left hand of the screen is the Community Development Department negotiated a contract for a new plumbing inspection company in order to meet compliance with Illinois Plumbing Code for inspections. Up at the top right hand of the screen, you can see the building division using new technology. The New World software was introduced to help streamline the permit process, together with technology such as tablets. The process is a lot more efficient now. At the bottom right hand of the screen is the new Geneva Bank and Trust building, which was converted from the old Pure Oil gas station and was turned into a drive-through bank with approval from the Plan Commission, the Historic Preservation Commission, and, of course, City Council. Also, the Community Development Department welcomed Michael Lambert as the new Historic Preservation Planner. And Michael comes with years of experience relevant to that position. The Economic Development Department, as you can see from their chart, had some good news. As you can see, the overall trend for Geneva is that there's more new businesses that are opening than there are old businesses that are closing. Additionally, the downtown retail vacancy rate dropped from 15% to 10% this past year. Industrial property vacancy remains pretty low at 3%. Retail vacancy on Randall Road remains at around 5%. Tourism activities funded by hotel motel tax include downtown directory maps, such as the image you see on the top left-hand corner, radio ads, newspaper ads, and funding for the outdoor music grant, which helped fund 43 grants. There in the middle, and also on the upper right-hand corner, you can see the Economic Development Department continue to communicate with local businesses through website posts. The image in the upper right-hand corner is from the GenevaDowntown.org website. They also did site visits, and they sent out electronic newsletters that were tailored to meet the specific needs for individual businesses in Geneva. There at the bottom lower left-hand corner is another Master's of Public Administration student from Northern Illinois. That's Neil Reeves. He's an economic development intern, and he also started this past fiscal year. And he will be finishing the program along with me, and he hopes to pursue a career in economic development. There in the bottom right-hand corner is the mayor awarding Michael Simon with the Mayor's Choice Award for supporting local businesses and real estate development. Also, I mentioned earlier the GenevaDowntown.org website. It experienced a increase of 15% visitors from people on the internet. This was an increase from the past fiscal year. The fire department had a retirement with Deputy Chief Scott Spencer there in the upper left-hand corner. He served 34 years with the Geneva Fire Department, and he continues to serve Geneva as the coordinator for the Emergency Services Disaster Agency. To replace DC Scott Spencer, we have Dan Maluto, whose picture is also up there, second to the left. He joined the fire department this past year, and he comes from the Plainfield Fire Protection District. Up top, second to the right, is an image of the fire department responding to a structural fire here on August 3rd. Fortunately, the occupants were able to escape and contact 911, and no one was injured. At the top right-hand corner is an image of 29 fire department members that worked alongside with the Chamber of Commerce to help repair the Santa House just in time for the holidays. The bottom left-hand corner, the fire department also responded to an acid spill with the help of the Mavis Division 13, the hazardous material team, and luckily no one was injured in that occurrence. At the bottom center is a new ambulance that was funded for the fire department by the Tri-City Ambulance that was placed into service this past year. The old unit is still on reserve for the fire department. The bottom right-hand corner, that image depicts the Life Safety Division, which presented educational sessions to age-restricted residents at care facilities throughout Geneva, and it also distributed educational information as well, such as brochures. And the goal of the life safety division is to, one of their goals is to reduce the overall number of responses to false alarms. The police department, the first graph you see up top in the blue reports index crimes or part one crimes, which are serious crimes such as robberies, homicides, arson. And unfortunately, there was a 16% increase from the past year, but there was a slight decrease from 2010. The bottom chart there in the red is accidents that occurred in Geneva this past year. And there was a 5% decrease in accidents overall. As you can see on the far right of the screen is the new Interceptor. It's a squad car for the police department. It replaced an older squad car with over 150,000 miles on it. The Geneva Police Department also remained active throughout multi-jurisdictional groups, such as the King County SWAT team and the Illinois Internet Crimes Against Children, that group. The top right-hand corner is a picture of the new digital speed display, which was deployed last year to help calm down traffic. And also, it enables the police department to conduct traffic studies as well as traffic speed studies, excuse me, and also traffic volume studies. There at the bottom left-hand corner, the police department remains committed to community safety programs, such as Child Safety Seat Program, the Internet Safety Program, and also Operation Snowball, which empowers the youth to lead drug-free lives. at the bottom right-hand corner, the police also conducted a number of compliance checks in regard to alcohol sales and tobacco sales as well. 30 random businesses were checked by the police, and all 61 businesses that have liquor licenses were checked as well. For the Public Works Department, the top two images in the left-hand corner show the street division working on the 200 feet of new water main that were replaced on Dunstan and Ray Streets. The top right is a picture of the new Campbell Street parking lot, which opened this past year and provides 20 additional parking spaces in the downtown area. The bottom two pictures is a before and after of the 2012 street program, which replaced 24 streets along with four streets with water main replacements. As we all know, this past year, weather has been quite significant. Last summer's drought equaled a larger consumption of water. And also, this past April 18th, with the storms, there was about six inches of rain. So areas were flooded, obviously, and sewers were overflowed. Certain streets were temporarily closed off. The top right-hand corner, the water division also has begun painting the Logan Avenue Tower and the Kirk Road Water Tower as well. The bottom or lower left-hand corner is a picture of city crews working on replacing the emerald ash borer trees that were affected. And also the 50-50 Parkway tree replacement has been very successful. And this program will continue on. There at the picture at the lower right-hand corner is a side view of a brick from State Street, which These bricks are being replaced. You know, the top of the bricks look okay, but on the bottom of the brick, obviously it's been degraded by weather, and these are very serious safety hazards. Okay, so obviously these projects that were highlighted by each department, many if not most were conducted by multiple departments working together. So if you have any questions, I know we have the city administrator and several staff department members here to answer any questions, as well as I can try and answer some questions as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it. Comments or questions, Alderman Singer.
Yeah, thank you. Luke, very nice. Very well done.
Thank you.
I think it might be worth our while for you to mention the replacement bricks are by far a better quality, so they won't go through the process of deterioration.
So I know Dan's the expert. Unfortunately, he's not here.
Yes, we're replacing those bricks, the concrete bricks with clay, like the ones that we put on 3rd Street. We
right.
tried the concrete bricks on State Street, and they really just haven't held up as well. Even though they look all right from the top, they're, as you can see from that picture, they're deteriorating from underneath, and then we've had some fall in suddenly, and so it does become a public safety issue. So we're just trying to get those replaced as we can over the last few years.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Anyone else? Comments or questions for Luke? For any of our department heads? Well done, man. Thank you, sir.
Do we grade him on this report?
If you stop in the City Hall tomorrow and there's no chocolate in the little candy bowl?
Yes.
Is that right, Luke?
The teacher
right.
in here.
Okay.
Thank you again, sir. Item number 4, amendments to the agenda. We do need to amend one item, and that is item, golly, forgive me, item 12, correction, item 11L. All of you should have received an email today asking for an amendment to be offered to that item. I will entertain an amendment which would, more or less, state approved resolution number 2013-65, authorizing bid award and contract with DeMar Tree Service in the amount not to exceed $97,965.
Move to approve the agenda as amended by the mayor.
Second. Motion offered by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Marks.
A point of order?
Yes, sir.
That was 11?
11L.
L?
As in Luke?
Okay, fine. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
On the amendment, a roll call is necessary. Mr. Clerk? Thank you.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Ian Kilberg?
Aye.
Kirk Maladra?
Aye.
Are there any other amendments to the agenda? Yeah, we should actually remove that item from the consent, though. So that item will be removed from consent. Therefore, on item 5, the omnibus agenda includes all items except for item 11A and item 11L. So on the omnibus agenda, I'll entertain a motion to approve all those items marked with an asterisk, as they can be approved with one motion, one second, and a vote.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Bruno, seconded by Alderman Marks. Any questions or comments on the omnibus agenda? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Item 5 passes unanimously. We skip down to item number 10, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our clerk to present the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $1,022,093.55.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The invoices that add up to that total can be found on the city's website under tonight's packet.
Second.
Motion offered by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions or comments regarding the bills presented? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Arthur Flanagan.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Item 10 passes unanimously. We jump down to item 11A, Committee of the Whole Items of Business. The first item is to recommend ordinance number 2013-20, granting a special use in the R2 medium-density single-family residential district to allow a continued use and expansion of Fox Valley Presbyterian Church at 227 East Side Drive.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks made the motion. No. Incorrect. Alderman Brown made the motion. Alderman Vogelsberg made the second. Mr. Unch is with us tonight to share with us, as directed by the City Council,
what might happen.
We believe there might be an arrangement that has been reached?
That is correct. As you recall from last week's Committee of the Whole meeting, we had a very full discussion on this proposed expansion project. An abutting property owner, Mr. Andrew Mayer, raised some concerns at that meeting regarding noise and what might be termed random activity on the eastern edge of the church's property, and was concerned about the control of movement of people on and off the property. And this past Wednesday, staff met with Mr. Mayer and representatives from the church. Pastor Roush is here. And we spent a good amount of time reviewing Mr. Mayer's concerns and discussing various remedies. And the most significant item and the most important item, I think, in terms of Mr. Mayer's concerns had to do with fencing. As a result of that conversation, an agreement was reached whereby, as a part of this project, the church will install an open-styled picket fence look type fence. It's really made out of aluminum, but it'll have that kind of wrought iron look to it. I didn't mean picket. I meant wrought iron. It's kind of a black wrought iron look type fence. Along its entire eastern boundary of the property, and then going down to the very southeast corner of the property and extending westward, that fence would also be installed to a point approximately at the what would be the east edge of the Aldi's property. I have a letter to this effect, and I have signatures from both the church and from Mr. Mayer, indicating that that agreement that's been reached.
Yes, questions or comments for either Mr. Unch and or, I would assume, Pastor Roush or Mr. Mayer. Alderman Brown.
Thank you. I, was very pleased to see everybody in conversation as we left on Monday, and the fact that they had another conversation on Wednesday is great. But I think the only reason we put a hold on this, if you wish, was to make sure that first they came to an equitable agreement, and second that it was completely consistent with all city ordinances, and I believe that was why you were there. You have no problem with it. It looks like perfectly reasonable solution as far as you're concerned.
Absolutely, and it is in compliance. The fence is
so your recommendation is the same as last week, that we should approve it?
Yes, with this addition.
With this addition. Do we need to put the addition in words, or is it something that we don't typically have to approve fences?
Yeah, what I would recommend is that this
with the condition as so stipulated by
be incorporated into the documents that are formally approved.
Okay. Well, then let my motion include the stipulation that letter is included with the original documents.
Does the seconder concur?
With Attorney Radovich.
And the seconder concurs? Okay. Alderman Bruno.
What is the height of that fence?
54 inches.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Kilberg.
Certainly thank everyone for the cooperation, including Mr. Unch and this department.
Just so I'm clear, if I may, perhaps I'll ask Pastor Roush or Mr. Mayer, whoever would like to answer. The fence does not go on the north property line of the Fox Valley Presbyterian Church. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And if I may ask, whoever willing to answer, just join us at the podium, why is that? Welcome back, sir.
Because the property owners that adjoin the northern boundary have, with the exception of one unit, have fencing already installed, so there's no need for fencing on that line.
Okay.
Any other questions while I'm up here?
Who's the one property owner that does not have fencing? You know the next name. Is it to the your east or your west?
It'd be to my west.
West, got it. Okay.
Two units down.
There is lots of vegetation as well, right?
Yeah, there's a boundary of trees, two double row of trees, and the proposed expanded project will come right up to that particular lot, so it's going to pinch that off pretty close.
And the one property owner that doesn't have a fence is in the process of getting a fence.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And Pastor That's Roush, good. Approximately what's the cost of this, quote, approval commitment?
We think with our sweat equity.
This is not germane, of course, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, with our own sweat equity, we're looking at probably about $8,000 additional cost.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to find out if so the maintenance still is in the hands of the church?
Of that fence, yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Alderman Kilbrey.
Mr. Mayor, I did take some time on Sunday afternoon and observe what you were trying to outline to the council, and I would agree with your observations, and they weren't an exaggeration, so I appreciate you coming forward and sharing those concerns. Hopefully the fence will help, but it seems like some of your concerns really haven't really been addressed.
Well, we've discussed some of the other concerns are less fixable by mechanics, right? They're more neighborly things that had to just be discussed and understandings come to. And I think Pastor Roush and I have gotten to a point where we understand each other that there needs to be some just command and control functions exerted, and I think there will be.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anyone else?
Anyone from the audience? Just a quick clarifying question, if I may, reflecting on Alderman Kilberg's comments. With respect to no exaggeration of some of the concerns you expressed, were those concerns the noise volume or the I'm not sure.
Yeah, the noise volume.
The noise.
The noise and the activity level, particularly on Sunday afternoons.
Okay. From the other congregation?
Yeah, yeah. There's not much we can do about that. They're there.
Right, yeah, no, it's
tough. It's a tough situation, but we'll get through it. I do think the fence will help immensely. It'll help keep the people that are there, I will know, are supposed to be there, and not people that are just wandering in on the property.
Got it. Anyone else? Pastor Roush, as a addendum, if you will, I would like to congratulate you and the church. This council, this community talks often and rather eloquently about diversity in this community. And you stated rather clearly last week that you're all about diversity by welcoming the new congregation. And we certainly applaud those efforts. So thank you. Please let the congregation know we're pleased to have them in town as well.
I will do that.
Okay. Anyone else? We have a motion. We have a second.
This isn't going to be electrified.
Mr. Clerk, please take the roll. Please note that there's been a friendly amendment added to include the documents presented by Mr. Runch, by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Ian Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations, and thank you all for your cooperation and collaboration. And
yes.
There you go. Praise God. It's all done. Item 11L, approved resolution number 2013-65, authorizing bid award and contract with DeMar Tree Service in the amount not to exceed $97,965 for electric utility tree trimming. Motion by Maladra.
Second.
Seconded by Flanagan. Superintendent Buffington is with us this evening. In case there are any questions, or anything needs to be amplified based on the email that he has sent via Mrs. McKittrick, who forwarded to us.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Recently, ComEd did trim some trees at, was it our request, or is it something that they did so because of, it was on their easement areas?
ComEd every year comes through and trims trees in Geneva. And I sent out recently, or have sent out to you, that map showing the tree trimming.
Right.
And that's their work on their lines.
Now, was that cost absorbed by ComEd?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. And thank you.
Within their easement.
Within their easement.
Within their easement.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Item 11L. We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Item 11L passes unanimously. Item 12A is to, forgive me, consider resolution number 2013-67, authorize budget amendment and purchase of a Pluger FlowServe motor bowl assembly for emergency well number 8 repair at a cost not to exceed $56,000. And we have Mr. FlowServe himself, Mr. Van Gescom. We need a motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Maladra makes the motion. Alderman Marks makes the second. Mr. Van Gescom, floor is yours.
Thank you, and I do very much appreciate you letting me bring this to the council's attention and at the last minute. And as you can imagine, with the 14-week lead time on this, it was a priority to get it to you and get it on order. So a couple things that I did not include in the executive summary that I would like to point out. For one thing, well number 8 is one of our shallow wells, but it is a primary well for us at the water plant. It's at the northeast corner of Kesslinger and Peck by the church there, so just so you have an understanding of where it's at. So you may have noticed that there was a disposal cost in any of the options that we had of $8,650, and that's due to the fact that under the 2012 legislation that was brought forward, it required proper disposal for any mercury-sealed motor to be properly disposed of. So that's where that added cost comes in. So that might have struck you a little bit as high, but that's because of the legislation. So, but I do appreciate you letting me come forward with this.
Any questions or comments? Alderman Marks?
Just one. I noticed the second bid was only about $600 higher, but it only had an 8-week turnaround time. I mean, and what struck me is you said it's a primary. I mean, do we really need that well? I mean, is it worth the $600 to at least consider moving it up that extra 4 weeks? Or
the only reason I did this is because, number one, when we had our well number 10, which is close by there also, in repair two years ago. Dan Watson from Murphy Sharp recommended that we go with the Pluger because there's been nobody who's had any experience with the Hitachi motor.
I just didn't know for the 600 if when you said that it's a primary well that
it is, was worth but it. It's we're comfortable in this decision. You
that's
know,
all.
Sticking with that.
I mean, yeah. I just, when you just said primary, sure. I thought I might want to ask that.
We have other shallow wells, but this is one that Mike likes to use at the water plant due to its output, and that it really fits in well with our.
So you have a perfectly good reason. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you just weren't trying to cut the corner just
no,
like that.
No,
and,
not at all.
And I just wondered to make sure, because if you said it's primary, I'd rather have the water than not a well.
Correct. Primary is meaning just getting it to your attention.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is this deterioration rather a common occurrence in these situations?
I wouldn't consider it common. This was a pretty significant failure in this motor. It's kind of hard for me to explain it to you, but it was a failure that, frankly, Lane Western has never seen before in between the motor coupling, and it would have cost us more to repair that motor than it would be to go out and get a new motor.
And what precautions have you taken in regard to the other wells to foresee the possibility of this kind of an issue being found once again? And
really, the only thing that we can do is do preventative maintenance, meaning
right.
pull it out and inspect it. But really, any motor and pump and motor that's, you know, anywhere between 200 feet to 1,000 feet it's an unknown.
Yeah.
We do check our amps. We do check the specific capacity of the well to see if there's any problems that we can foresee. But other than pulling it on a regular basis, there's really no way to tell if a motor is going to fail like that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Alderman
Mayor.
Bruno. Then Alderman Flanagan.
Yes, sir. It kind of brings up a point. So is there these motors are obviously difficult to get to, so you can't just take it out willy-nilly and look at it every so often. But is there telemetry, either directly or indirectly, that you see, I don't know, flow rates going down or?
Correct. We had not seen any problems with our flows or amps or anything like that. This was just a catastrophic failure that happened. We do keep an eye on those regularly. I'd be frank, I mean, in the past, we have not done a suggested pull every 10 to 12 years to see if the, pump and motor are fine. We just have not had a history of that being an issue. So, but now this is something that we should consider, and especially in a shallow well. You know, we're looking at $10,000 to take it out and take a look at. But whether or not our money is really spent all that well, it'd be tough to say. But
so other than the depth, do we have the same motor or class of motor in multiple wells?
This motor of this type is usually used in deep wells because it does have it is a stronger motor, more reliable motor. But because of being a shallow well, we have gone with a less expensive motor because it's not all that much money to take it out compared to a deep well.
Thank you.
Sure.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That just gave me a thought when you were talking about it. How old is this pump?
This pump and motor was installed.
I was just wondering if it was a defect, because you said that,
it's not a defect. No.
So it was running for a number of years.
Yes. The pump and motor was put in 1986.
Oh, that's pretty okay.
Many of us are still driving a 1986 car.
We can't get better use of that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyone else? Questions or comments for Mr. Van Gesken? We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Thank you.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Item 12A passes unanimously. We jump down to item 13, new business. Any new business from our friends in the audience? This young lady, welcome.
I haven't been here for quite a while. And the last time I came, I asked for an alley to go behind a specific street. Do any of you remember that street?
Manchester,
you're right, Manchester Course. We hadn't had an alley back there, or a real fix on the alley since 1986. You did a beautiful job of hiring the people. I think it was a group from West Chicago. You did a beautiful job of hiring the people, getting them in there, and getting the alley set up. I think one is behind Britta, and the other is a little bit south, and the other one's behind Manchester Course. And people are just thrilled with it. We've had such a positive response, And it's been so much safer for the kids riding bikes, for the police coming through, for the moms that are trying to get to soccer in a hurry. It's been just absolutely wonderful. I did want to get to you about one thing, though, and that is not everybody's taking advantage of the drainage system. I've talked to a number of neighbors, and I think you brought it up a little bit at one of the meetings, at least it sounded like you were saying, it's the storage system, the water storm drain system, getting overworked during some of the rains, not just the really bad one we had, but some of the other ones, because work has been done on a number of the houses. A number of the houses there needed a little help, and the city stepped in with that, too, and set up a program. That was another real kudo for the city, and the people appreciate it. I have heard from a number of neighbors that some neighbors are draining their water other than towards the alley, and that's causing some problems for neighbors with erosion, and it's causing too much water to be towards other people's houses. I don't know what the rules and regs are for that, but it would be nice if the city knew or the city could say at this meeting who to call and, you know, what can be done there. I do know that Christ Community Church has their service days. They have them periodically. They're having a big one next week. And a couple of the houses happen to be in our area. And being on some of those teams, people say, well, is it corrugated pipe that's needed, you know, that we need to donate? Or is it just black dirt that needs to be donated? People really don't understand it. So I'd like to encourage the people in Geneva to be really courteous to their neighbors and put those drain pipes in. They're, you know, they're lightweight. Get those drain pipes in between their flower beds. We don't have to be so vain to worry about our flower beds. I mean, Geneva's beautiful, but the drainage of water is more important. And let's get that water down to the alleys. Is there a number that people can call to get some help with that? Are there some rules and regulations that have to do with some pumps and drainage and gradient when people change the gradient of their lawns?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
And forgive me for not inviting you to introduce yourself.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We all know who you are, but the television audience, of course.
Oh, well, that's a little more nervous. They don't need to know, do they?
No, it's all done in sepia tone.
I'm kidding. I'm Sally Kelton. I live at 820 Manchester Course here in Geneva.
And Sally, for your benefit and your neighbor's benefit, the number to call is 232-1501. That is the Public Works number. The issue you raise is a matter of stormwater management and how that stormwater affects grading, what have you. We would be more than happy to have one of our professional staff visit the site, talk about what perhaps could be the issue, and perhaps even remedy that issue as well with some suggestions. So,
because talking with neighbors, there are a number of people who are concerned at this point.
Sure.
And since you did such a great job with some of the other issues that came up over time, I thought this was a good forum of people to come back and talk to.
The real question is, did your block party get rained out on Saturday?
Not too badly.
Not too bad. Okay.
There's kind of a bouncy bunch over there.
What are you going to do about that, Kilberg and Vogelsberg? What are you guys going to do about that?
They're kind of a happy bunch, you know?
They are a happy bunch, aren't they?
They are. And they have a lot of kids, and kids just don't melt in the rain. So we do pretty well. I will say, too, and people want me to relay this, is that the tree department, I don't know if it's called the tree department, exactly what it's called, did a wonderful job of cutting down the ash. And they cut it right down to the ground. They did a nice job of cleanup. They are a very nice crew. I've watched them. I've lived in that, in my house for 20 years, and I've you know, had a lot of luck with my house. The crew seemed to be a little smaller. I think one man short this year compared to before. They're not having any retirements or replacements coming up, are they?
Several of the men are short, actually.
Are they? Is that kind of hard? But it's a great crew. They work very, very
hard.
They
are a good crew.
They work really, really hard.
You know who's going to watch this rebroadcast tomorrow is that crew. So I know they're going to appreciate your kind words. They're nice folks. Mr. Cohorse and the gang, good people.
I don't know exactly who they are, but they're good people. And
they are good
hard.
People, yeah.
Yes, very nice people. I brought them out chocolate chip cookies. They were our card. I figured they were worth their chocolate chip cookies.
That's a good tip for all of us.
Yeah, wait. I'll fix the drainage thing if you give me chocolate chip cookies.
Come on over Geneva East between Britta and Manchester. Moore Park looks beautiful, and the neighborhood's talking about Moore Park. The crew, that's the park
district
crew, and the
tree
crew.
But we'll still sell
a little bit of everybody, I'm not sure. But it's the city of Geneva, and they've done a beautiful job over there.
Good.
If you go over to that park, it looks very different.
It does look nice.
Than it did before. Anyway, thank you for so much.
Well, gosh, thank you.
Talk a lot for us.
If you could come back next week and just share some accolades, that'd be helpful. Right, Luke? New business from the dais or anyone else in the audience? We do have a closed session this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll entertain a motion to adjourn to closed session, or excuse me, go into closed session on collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or representatives.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Marks. A roll call is in order. We kindly ask our city clerk to take the roll.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Singer?
Aye.
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Bruno?
Aye.
Cummings?
Aye.
Flanagan?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. There is no action being taken following tonight's closed session. We anticipate it to be a fairly brief session. So, see you in a little bit. Microphones are off.